including The Voice of America.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on The Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings and happy Friday to all our Voice of America listeners, and happy September too. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. It's been an award-winning week for Manchester City's Norwegian star Erling Haaland. On Tuesday, he was named the Professional Footballers Association Player of the Year. And on Thursday, Haaland won UEFA's Best Men's Player Award.
I feel good. What more can I say? I won the treble as 22 years old. And I'm kind of living the dream. This was my dream when I was young. So to be able to do this together with my teammates is something special, of course. So I'm really happy, and it also gives me so much motivation to keep on working to achieve more of the trophy that just stood there, and of course these are also really nice. So it's free motivation, and I'm so happy.
Erling Haaland and reigning title holder Manchester City have been drawn in Group G with Leipzig, Red Star Belgrade, and Young Boys for this year's UEFA Champions League competition. Group F is being described as the toughest group. Paris Saint-Germain will play former champions AC Milan and Borussia Dortmund, plus Newcastle. In Group C, record 14-time winners Real Madrid will play Serie A champions Napoli, Braga, and Union Berlin. German giants Bayern Munich will take on Manchester United, FC Copenhagen, and Galatasaray in Group A. In Group D, last season's runners-up Inter Milan will meet Benfica, RB Salzburg, and Real Sociedad. Group E has Feyenoord, Atletico Madrid, Lazio, and Celtic. In Group B, Arsenal and Europa League winners Sevilla were drawn along with PSV Eindhoven and Lens. Finally, in Group H, La Liga champions Barcelona will play Porto, Shakhtar Donetsk, and Royal Antwerp. The UEFA Champions League group stage will begin on September 19th and conclude on December 13th. The knockout stages will begin in February 2024, with the final taking place at London's Wembley Stadium in June. London is also where one of the great athletes of the modern era, Mo Farah, will make his competitive farewell on Sunday. The four-time Olympic champion will compete in the London Big Half. Farah's appearance in what is both an elite and mass event half marathon gives him a chance to say goodbye, in racing terms, to the city where he grew up after arriving as a boy from Somalia. The energetic Andy Edwards has witnessed many of Farah's triumphs and reflects on his achievements. Sporty greetings, Andy!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Mo Farah's rise to achieve a medal haul fit to be compared with anyone who has donned a pair of track spikes or running shoes is beyond question. In addition to his four Olympic titles, he has won six World Championship golds. This meteoric ascent began with his silver medal in the 10,000 metres in 2011, before he dominated every rival to complete his first double at 5 and 10,000 in London in 2012, and repeat this Herculean Olympic task in Rio 4 years later. Now, in theory, many observers thought, indeed assumed, that when Mo Farah moved to the marathon, he would continue to dominate, but that was not the case. This was a reminder that in sport, theory and statistics do not make up the whole picture. The marathon is not for everyone, at least at the elite level. Partly it's the luck of the draw, in terms of what nature has given you. A runner may be very good or even great in the longer track events, as Mo Farah was, but the different physiological and mental challenges of the marathon may provide an insuperable stumbling block. Running shoes, nutrition, and approaches to training for the race may have moved on, but the summary of a world record holder from the 1980s, Steve Jones of Britain, still holds good when he, with a touch of humour, described it as 20 miles or 35 kilometres steady run with a 10K race to follow. Now, not everyone can adjust to those different challenges. Mo Farah has run 2:05 for the marathon, breaking the European record to win Chicago 5 years ago. But in the context of world record holder Eliud Kipchoge and the rising star Kelvin Kiptum of Kenya, that is no threat. The turning point in ascending from good, elite performer to king of the long distances came just over 10 years ago, when Mo Farah moved from Britain to train under coach Alberto Salazar as part of the Nike project in Oregon in the USA. This project has since been disbanded and Salazar banned for life from involvement in athletics. Farah has never failed a drugs test and has distanced himself since from his involvement with the coach. The London Big Half is his farewell to the city where he grew up. As a boy, he joined a club, Newham and Essex Beagles, based in the eastern part of the city. This race on Sunday is part of a farewell tour, since next Sunday, September 10th, Mo Farah is making his final competitive appearance in the Great North Run, held in Newcastle-upon-Tyne in the northeast of England. And that's where he was part of an epic contest with Haile Gebrselassie and Kenenisa Bekele. 10 years ago, Kenenisa won from Farah and Haile. Time marches on. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Andy Edwards in London.
Thanks, Andy. From London, let's go to New York, where it's day 5 at the U.S. Open Tennis Tournament, highlighting day 4 action. 38-year-old John Isner said his goodbye to the sport after losing to a fellow American. The AP's Graham Agars reports.
For the first time in 17 years, John Isner will now wake up as a former tennis player. The 38-year-old 16-time tournament winner let a 2-sets-to-love lead get away from him in his second-round match at the US Open, and he eventually lost in a 5th-set super tiebreaker to fellow American Michael Moe. Moe's bittersweet victory brought up an emotional end to Isner's big serving career.
It's been a huge part of my life, so it's tough to say goodbye. It's not easy. But eventually this day would come. You can't really... It's hard to prepare for the emotions of it, but most importantly, man, I have an amazing life, for sure.
Jessica Pegula and Madison Keys both advanced, as did the men's defending champion, Carlos Alcaraz. I'm Graham Agars.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week. Right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My X, formerly known as Twitter handle, is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com for lots of Africa news. For world news, go to voanews.com. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Kenya's national women's volleyball team, which recently won its record 10th continental title in Yaounde, Cameroon. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2023, Moki Edwin Kinzaka reports from Yaounde.
Hundreds of fans applaud in Yaounde as the national women's volleyball team of Kenya lifts gold for the 10th time as women's African volleyball champions. Kenya thrashed Egypt 3-0 to lift the trophy. Kenya women's volleyball coach Paul Bitok says hard work pays off and he is proud of his team.
We are very happy here in Cameroon. The excitement for winning the 10th title and also qualifying for the Olympics 2024. It's a really great moment for Kenya for getting this title from the OC Cameroon after winning 3 consecutive years. We worked very hard for it. As you can see, we have expertise from Brazil. We have empowerment program, which we have run for the last 4 months before coming to this competition.
The best player of the competition is Sharon Chepchuma, still from Kenya. Sharon dedicates her trophy to the many fans in her home country and across Africa.
I'm so proud of my teammates, and I'm also proud of myself. Second time to be the MVP. It's not easy, but the support that I've been getting from my teammates, it has been massive, and I really appreciate it. So I'm saying I will keep on working hard, I'll keep on fighting, and I'll keep on encouraging African players, not only in Kenya, but all African players to work hard and have that determination so that they can achieve whatever they want in life. As an African girl, I believe that this time round in the world, they will respect Africa because we got good talent and we are ready to conquer it and we are ready to show them that Africa has good talent.
The 2023 finalists, Kenya and Egypt, were among favorites. The two teams were the most dominant forces in the tournament, with Kenya winning all of their matches and Egypt losing only one before losing again in the finals. Egypt striker Sabine Hassan acknowledges they met a more determined Kenya.
We studied this team, Kenya, a lot. They play yesterday very well. Kenya is a very, very, very good team. Thank you.
Kenya therefore lifts gold and Egypt silver. Defending champions and consecutive 3-time winners Cameroon defeated Rwanda by 3-1 to win bronze at the championship. Peter Nonnenberg, Cameroon's head coach, says his team is still very young, but promising.
We have to be realistic. A lot of experienced players, they stopped playing for this team. And to change and bring new players on the level what had before, this needs time and work. In 2 years, we can win if we get enough time to work. And you see, like Kenya, they were all year long, more or less together working, paid by FIVB to travel all around the world and playing all around the world and tournaments. If we get enough budget simply like that to work, for sure we can be on the same level like that, maybe better.
But Kenya's coach Paul Bitok says Cameroon did not make use of some of its players who are among the top in the continent. Bitok says such players are needed for Cameroon to do well in the 2025 FIVB Volleyball Women's World Championship.
To build a player like Moma and Chumba, it takes more than 4 years. to have such players. And I really request the nation of Cameroon, Ministry of Sports, to sit down and bring us Moma. We want to represent World Championship when we have Moma in the team. We don't want to go as only Kenya. We want to represent as Africa. And we want to have the best representation.
Many people here in Yaoundé agree that the Cameroonian Volleyball Federation did a good job of beautifully organizing the competition. The Central African States officials applaud fans who massively participated at the event.
Le Cameroun adhère à cette vision chère aux Nations Unies qui veut le sport comme un aliment du
développement. Cameroon's Sports Minister Narcisse Moale Kambi says Cameroon gave in its best to organize the 2023 Women's African Volleyball Championship because the Central African State adheres to the United Nations ideology of sports as an instrument for development, peace, living together, and mutual understanding between states, people, and communities all over the world.
Différents horizons de différentes nationalités, de différentes cultures.
Morocco, Rwanda, Burkina Faso, Nigeria, Lesotho, Mali, and Uganda return home as nations that have never won the championship. Egypt, Tunisia, and Cameroon have the record of 3 times winners, and the continent's giants Kenya carry the 10th Women's African Volleyball Top Trophy in Yaoundé. Kenya will represent Africa at the 2024 Olympic Games in Paris before joining Cameroon and Egypt as the continent's ambassadors to the 2025 FIVB Volleyball Women's World Championship, contested by the senior women's national teams of the members of the Fédération Internationale de Volleyball, which Hong Kong, Indonesia, Philippines, Thailand, and Vietnam have expressed interest to host. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Moki Edwin Kinzuka in Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Thanks, Moki. South Africa recently launched the first women's professional cricket league on the continent. Myron Naika filed this report from Durban, South Africa.
The formation of the competition comes on the back of the women's national team's success at the recently hosted T20 Women's World Cup. The Proteas finished as runners-up to Australia, highlighting the tremendous growth of the women's game. Lawson Naidu, Cricket South Africa's board chairperson, heralded the launch of the league as a historic moment for women's sport on the continent.
The launch of this league represents yet another manifestation of our desire to make space for women players to express themselves in this wonderful sport of ours. I am confident that through this league, more women cricketers will get the benefit of showcasing their skills and delight our fans with their talent. This is, however, not the end of the road for the development of the women's game. It is but a critical step along that journey. Much more remains to be done, and much more work will have to be done.
The six-team league has been funded by the government sports department. The women's game has been steadily growing in South Africa. CSA first introduced pro contracts in the national team back in 2013. At the time, only 6 players were being paid. Last year, that number jumped to 15. CSA Public Affairs Executive Rifense Shiners says their aim is to show potential financial backers that female creators are capable of producing a compelling product.
The issue of lack of sufficient sponsorship or investment into the women's game is what is being used as an excuse not to further or to bring equality or equity. But we have to start somewhere. As CSA, we said we will start with or without the investment. We need 32 million to be able to run this league properly at the standard and level that we wish to run it at. But currently we can afford 10 million. But did that stop us? No. We've decided that our supply will create demand.
Former Proteas all-rounder and now women's head coach at Cricket South Africa's National Academy, Denisha Devnarine, told VOA that the league will inevitably raise the standard of cricket in the country.
Actually, history has been made, so it's a massive occasion. It's very momentous. I think what it does, obviously, like the main thing is that it's, you know, like girls can solely focus on cricket now. You know, they can devote more time to their game. They can attend more sessions. They fully professionalize. This is their job now. And obviously with that comes a lot of benefits. One is that we obviously hope that the standard of cricket and the level of provincial cricket uplifts itself with better performances. We can be better on and off the field.
It will also enhance the pipeline of players coming through. While representing your country is a dream for every talented cricketer, the league now provides an alternative way to earn money.
From a talent point of view, or from a high performance point of view, you know, it let girls, participation of girls will be more bigger now. Knowing that, you know, we're working in an environment where it is cutthroat and the best only makes it to the pro tier level. Now you can be a great provincial cricketer as well and still earn a good living. And I think that's what's the big thing about it, is that our participation rate will go up high.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Myron Naika in Durban, South Africa.
Thanks, Myron. Samson Omale joins us once again with another spicy package of African sports news. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you too, Sunny. We begin the wrap of Africa sports with the 2023 FIBA Basketball World Cup. Egypt secured their second straight win at the Basketball World Cup after they fended off the comeback efforts of Jordan for an 85-69 victory on Thursday at the Mall of Asia Arena in Pasir City. That win keeps them in the hunt for an automatic qualification as the best African team in the FIBA Basketball World Cup, as Jordan are still winless in Manila. Egyptian power forward Anas Mahmoud said it wasn't an easy victory.
We took a little early lead and then they fought back, and then also, you know, our guys were very mentally locked in. We made some mistakes, but down the stretch, I think we made some winning plays, and I'm very proud of how we handled it.
The Pharaohs coach, Roy Rana, said his team is improving with every game.
Really, really proud of our team. Like, you know, I said this after we lost to Lithuania. It's not a one-game tournament. We got to keep improving as it goes on. And I thought today we were, it was one of those games, right? The stakes start to get higher, and this is a young group that really hasn't been in a lot of these games, but I thought we just made winning plays down the stretch, right? Ehab Steele was big. We made free throws. I thought we executed, you know, we had a key sideline out of bounds. And then, so we set ourselves up for one more tomorrow that's going to be really big.
Another African representative, South Sudan, kept their hopes alive in the race for the 2024 Olympics and the Olympic qualifying tournament with an 87-68 win over Philippines in a classification game of 17-32, thanks to Kalik Jones, who nearly registered a first triple-double in World Cup history. Jones, who plays for the Chicago Bulls in the post-match conference, revealed his approach towards the game.
You know, my mentality, you know, coming to the game was just be the best player on the floor. You know, just do whatever it takes to get a win. I know we sometimes lack in defensive rebounding, so I know we needed to rebound, push the pace, get stops. And one thing I love to do is to get my teammates going.
And on to cricket. The South African men's cricket team returned to action on Wednesday, losing to Australia by 111 runs in the first of three T20 internationals against Australia, all to be played at the Kingsmead in Durban. The Proteas last played in April, but were confident that despite their lack of game time, they are ready for a busy few months of white ball cricket, all leading up to the Cricket World Cup in India in October. Aiden Markram, South Africa's T20 international captain, blamed their loss on the inexperience of the young side.
We don't see it as a series where we're just going to sit back and see what happens. Although it's a slightly newer, inexperienced group that we have here, we're still yet to win. We're competitive people as sportsmen, and you're representing your country, and you want to make them proud. So it's a great opportunity for us as a slightly younger team to take on a good Australian team and hopefully can beat them.
Now to Namibia, where all arrangements have been concluded to host the National Karate Championships on Saturday, the 2nd of September at the Windhoek Show Grounds. Over 80 entries registered and confirmed their participation at the championships, where participants will showcase their skills and compete for top honors in various belt rankings ranging from white to black belt. In addition to the traditional events, there will be some exciting new additions to the program. One such activity is a Kata family event, where groups of 15 relatives perform Kato together, adding a unique twist to the competition. Sensei Stefan Vandermeer of Okinawan Goju Ryu Karate Den will be hosting the championships.
We do expect a pretty high level of karate on the day. We do have quite a few athletes in our ranks at the moment that are current national team members that have been participating internationally this year. So it will be nice to see them on the floor again. And then obviously to give our new guys the opportunity to see where do they rank at the moment and if they are ready to take this event onto a higher level, national level.
And now to South Africa, where following the success of hosting Formula E earlier this year, South Africa will play host to yet another international motorsport event when the Cape Town WRX Championships takes place in October. The all-electric Riley Cross cars will be competing in the doubleheader and demonstrating the sport's commitment to a sustainable future. This isn't the first event of its kind in South Africa. The first Cape Town WRX event took place in 2017, with the second in 2019. Ian Anna, WRX South Africa chairman, says the race will give fans something not to forget.
And the fact is they're coming a long way, so it makes sense. Let's, you know, make the most of it. And of course we pushed and wanted a doubleheader, which we were offered, and we took it with both arms. And Justin, this is about rebuilding post-COVID. So we did it in 2019. Frankly, it cost us a lot of money. It was lastminute.com. And then we went into COVID and we didn't have a chance to really build this property the way we are building Formula E, for example.
The race has been scheduled to hold between the 7th and the 9th of October. In swimming news, the Mediterranean resort city of Netanya, Israel, will host the World Aquatics Junior Swimming Championships Netanya 2023 from the 4th to the 9th of September 2023. Over 600 promising young swimmers from more than 100 national federations are expected to compete. Team Ghana will be represented by 5 swimmers at the World Juniors. The selected swimmers were all part of Ghana's 16 swimmers who finished second at the just concluded Zone 2 Aquatic Junior Championships, which was held in Ghana. Team captain Roxane Adoma Ababio is confident her team will make Ghana proud at the championships.
Yeah, it's a huge motivation to go and swim for Ghana, and we hope to get more medals and win more races. I'm very, very motivated to represent Ghana. I did it in the last Zone 2 competition, and I'm very proud of my races and my achievements. Yes, sometimes I feel a bit pressured, but I know that my teammates are also preparing well enough for this competition, so I know we'll all go and do our best and make Ghana proud.
And now to badminton, where the 6th edition of the Lagos International Badminton Classics taking place at the Molade Okoya Thomas Indoor Sports Hall, Teslim Balogun Stadium in Suleri, Lagos, will end on Saturday. A total of 148 players from 30 countries are competing for honors at the championship, which also gives players the opportunity to garner points towards qualification for the Paris 2024 Olympics, as well as improve their BWF world ranking. President of the Badminton Federation of Nigeria, Francis Obi, described the Lagos Classics as the highest category of Badminton World Federation sanctioned championship to be hosted by any African country.
We are very elated. We are happy that Lagos International Badminton Classic is back on the World Badminton calendar. Like you know, this is the flagship event for badminton in Africa. We are the first country to hold an international challenge. And after us, 2 other countries have come, but we are the trailblazers. And to come back after about 3 years due to COVID and other things, we are very happy.
African badminton champion Anonuluapo Jumon Opeyori says his ambition at the tournament is to win the title.
One of my dreams is to win this tournament, but like I said, there's no rush. I have to take each game at a time. So, and there's also the honor for myself and for my nation.
In athletics, defending champion Evans Chebet of Kenya will challenge fellow compatriots and 2-time winner Geoffrey Kamawuro when the New York City Marathon returns on the 5th of November. Kenya's Chebet won the New York City Marathon last year in 2 hours, 8 minutes, 41 seconds, 7 months after winning the Boston Marathon. He became the 8th man in history to win both races in the same year and the first since 2011. Chebet already retained his Boston title earlier this year and has finished first or second in 13 other marathons.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson O'Malle. And that wraps up the September 1st edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in and have a nice weekend.
I get it.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.